Welcome to Radar. This program can be heard at thevinyldistrict.com or anywhere fine podcasts are found. Here is your host, Evan Toth.
It's miraculous, really, that great new music is revealed to us each passing week. We need only be open to exploring it to enjoy it. There's nothing wrong with reveling in your favorite songs, artists, and albums that are deemed classics by some listening community, but it's continuing to explore new releases that really gets us thinking about music, both where it's been and where it's going, and how new sounds might enrich our busy lives. That's when it's fun to discover an artist like Liam Bailey, who offers a slice of many of your favorite records on his newest release, Zero Grace. Yet he maintains a voice that is all his own. Liam is not really a new artist, but his latest album is a bit of a rebirth. His first full release dates back to 2014 and jointly came out on the Sony Masterworks and Flying Buddha labels. But his latest album, on the Big Crown label, feels like a return to Bailey's roots, a true representation of who he is rather than someone else's idea of who he should be. And Liam wouldn't have things that way anyway. As you'll find in our chat, he's his own man, and he resists any temptation to avoid the truth. He approaches things head on and makes no excuses. And for someone who is a music lover and who appreciates a steadfast creator making music on their own terms, it can be an exciting experience to discover Liam Bailey. So, let's do it. Where are you joining me from today?
I'm in my yard, but I'm in my spare room where I just got like all the boxes and that.
But where do you live? I mean? Where do you live?
In South London.
Oh, okay. So it's late.
Yeah, but it's like 9 o'clock.
I'm sorry about that. I didn't realize it was so. I'm here in New Jersey. I'm just outside of New York.
Listen, I got time for you, brother. We can do this. We can go all night, G.
Let's do it. All right. We're not going to go all night, but
I'm not mad.
It's good. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you very much for doing this.
No problem.
All right, cool. Well, I got some questions for you, and we'll get you in and out of here in no time, and then you can go on for the rest of your South London evening.
Okay.
All right, Liam. So I love the name of your album, man. Zero Grace. Zero Grace.
Yeah.
No Grace. Tell me about that title. Let's start with the title. Sometimes titles mean, titles mean a lot about a project.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of Zero Grace. I like that phrase. You know, you step through the place and you come with who you come with zero grace. But the important thing is grace, though. So with there being like some of the subject matter, I suppose what I'm writing about, not easy things to write about.
Right.
And so, you know how like, no matter how hard you try, you can try and try and be the best person or say the right thing all the time, but you're going to offend somebody or somebody's affected and things like that. So that I had on my mind. And I think also just my character as a person, I don't have a filter. And so,
Yeah. It's funny because I know that comes up in your press a little bit too. That you're very straightforward. You know, I'm a straightforward guy too. People always say,
I don't like it when you're mamby pamby and when you are wishy washy and when you dance around the subject or where you're passive aggressive. You know,
right.
Because you know the passive aggressive ones. They're the ones that are scary.
Right.
Why are you being passive aggressive for? That takes a lot of quiet, steady energy. Whereas what we do is we get it out. We like to just get direct to it. And then we're cool. All right, cool. Right. I know what, go on. You know that, all right, I come with love. I just need to get that. Or if you're in the wrong, then you know that, all right, you're a dickhead now, but I think you're blessed still.
Right.
Anyway, sorry.
Right. No, it's funny. And it's true. And it comes up sometimes, you know, comes up in my life sometimes. And sometimes people that are too nice make me nervous. You know what I mean? Someone that wants to be, it's just very nice and very friendly. And I get like, come on, man, you know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, it's a great album. Holding On is a really cool song. And it's like, when you start this record, I feel like it's kind of like pulling a rare, you know, 7-inch, a 45 record out of a box that's been hidden away in an attic for years. And that's, you know, the production and the composition that people try very hard, especially nowadays, to kind of emulate that sound, to get that sound. But it seems like you really nailed it pretty easily. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how you approach the aesthetic on this album, the audio aesthetic, at least?
Yo, we're jamming in the room, you know what I mean? We're jamming together. And the players on the record are just those guys, you know what I'm saying? That's what they do. They play like that. But we were, you know, I know that I'd been listening to a lot of early Wailers and a lot of, I'm always listening to Lee Scratch Perry anyway, bro. Mm. But I was listening to a lot of Zamrock as well.
Yeah.
But a lot of just because I'm listening to, I'm constantly on Selector with looking for rare cuts, you know, with reggae and stuff. So, but I also had some like just actual singer songwriter songs that weren't based on genre like that I wanted to get across as well. So, but yeah, man, when you got guys like Dylan Novak on the guitar, Nick Mauvachon on, he's either playing bass or drums. Leon's either playing bass or drums. I'll play a bit of guitar.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we're just jamming, bro. And luckily we got a vibe, you know what I'm saying? And then when it's time to cut the vocal, I've already come up with something and, you know, go away, write the lyric, come back, touch mic, nice.
Right. Right. Dumb is another, you know, great song that sounds like it's, you know, it's a real cassette tape. You went for this kind of cassette tape sound. And it's funny because I, you know, a lot of times on this program, we're talking about, you know, how people go through pains to make everything sound perfectly clear and 100 microphones on a piano. And then here's this recording, which I love, you know, it's just, it sounds like it brings me back to a time where I'm finding a record or I'm finding maybe a cassette tape that I dubbed off of the radio or something and a tape that I made because I'm of the age where we had cassette tapes when we were younger. We used to make mixtapes and stuff. But how did you kind of get that sound in the studio? Did you use cassette? What did you do to get that sound? It sounds great.
We're already recording to tape anyway. But then if I remember correctly, we might have run it through a cassette tape as well. I'm not sure. Because you see, I'm there when I'm recording and writing. I don't necessarily watch Leon mix the thing, but I know that it would have gone through the cassette as well. And to be honest with you, Bridging, like, if it sounds clean, we don't really ramp with it. So it has to sound like, it has to sound kind of cracked out. Like when I first heard it, I wasn't sure, to be honest with you. And then I just went away and just started writing like a Sing J kind of spoken wordy thing for it. And it just got tougher as it went on. So then the bass came on. I can say, like, if it, in terms of actual production detail, you'd have to speak to Leon himself.
All right. So was this, you said the whole album was recorded, tape on to analog?
Yeah, bruv. Yeah. Like we have to cut it live, you know, because, well, the players have to try, like, at least put their what they're doing live. So me and Light of the Darkness was me and Dylan. I think we did that in one or two takes. Mm-hmm. And then would have overdubbed it with bass.
And did you digitize this before it got to vinyl? Did they do the master in digital, or is it a all analog project?
Bro, all I know is, like, I work with Leon because we do it on analog, innit? So,
all right, cool. Well, it has that sound. I'd be very excited if it were all analog, because it could be. It sounds that way. I mean, I know you digitized it for the streaming and stuff, but I'm just curious if the vinyl is
It's
from a digital master. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know about all of that, you know.
All right, well, we're gonna ask Leon. Do you sense
Leon? Yeah, you'll be lucky to get an interview out of him, you know.
Yeah,
it's quiet. But no, that's interesting. Interesting. Like, obviously, get digitalized because it goes on MP4s and whatever you call it. But we're not there. We don't sit there making music on Pro Tools, if that's what you're trying to.
No, I just mean the.
There's no, bruv, we don't look at screens when we're making music. We, like, somebody goes and presses a button.
Yeah.
And we've got a click track. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then we cut it live to tape.
Old school.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. That's so cool.
Like, big man business, you know?
Yeah. Boy is an interesting song, and, you know, it kind of lashes out against the usage of that word. That's, of course, for you in the UK, and for us here in the States, it's also a word that has a very charged connotation. And, you know, when you're speaking to another person, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, choosing that as a theme to write a song around? Did you have an experience? You know, there are a few songs on the album like this I wanted to ask you about, and this is the first.
You know what? This was one of the ideas that was on my phone. So I must have been writing it. You know, during, like, I think the end of the pandemic, we was just moving the kitchen. This year, yeah, where I am now, it used to be the kitchen.
Oh, okay.
And now it's a spare room, yeah. So I remember when that was the spare room, the window was big, and I would always get up at about, like, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, watch the sunrise and play the guitar. Mm. And I had that little fingerprint, the little guitar bit, and the "Don't call me but oi, because, you know, I love Eka Mouse, innit? So anyway, I played it to Leon, and they were like, "Oh yeah, that's dope." So and Dylan, and so yeah, it went from there. We've built a song from there. And when I did write the lyrics, the first time I ever knew that you don't call someone boys when I said it to my dad once.
Mm.
And I thought he was going to punch me in the face.
Mm.
But he locked me off anyway. And I didn't call him boy again, put it that way.
Oh, but, so that was kind of from dad's perspective a little bit?
No, put me in it, like, it just flipping checked me, do you know, and you just G-check, you get a G-check by your dad, like, flipping, put me in the middle lock. And just right. Like, yo, did you know, do you know what I mean? One of them. I was like, I really, like, you know. And, you know, you just, sometimes when you're in a teenage, you test. But anyway, so I just liked it, bruv. And then it would just remind, like, I'm the kind of guy that some people can, you know, because I can just, you know, people just seem happy and stuff. They can sometimes, like, try and take more than they need. Do you know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, in the same, you know, that song and also Disorder Starts at Home are both tracks that, you know, seem to have a real, a real message, you know, a real message that comes from experience or comes from, a, you know, maybe something that you've learned. So To Sort of Starts at Home is really another one that, you know, has some background there. And what's that song about? Where'd you come up with that one?
It's just the early part of my childhood was a chaotic little time there before, you know, we managed to, my mum is like one of the champions in my life, you know what I mean? Like, I have a massive adoration for my mum. She's, I just love her dearly. There was chaotic times in the first few years and things were loud at times. And and my biological father, you know, didn't, you know, my mum didn't get on. So I tried my, you know, you go through life trying to get your head around that, you know. And that's what I did, never really getting my head around things like that. And then I come to making this record and I want it to be, you know, I'm not in this to be just willy-nilly, bruv. I'm here to tell the truth. Yeah. And I'm here to tell a story, and I'm here to, like, I walk these streets with more than fire in my belly. I walk these streets with my story that informs my conviction, and that informs my art. And so I feel that is something I've been taught by watching people like Bob Marley, John Lennon. I looked up to John Lennon, Bob Marley, Stevie Wonder, you know, Jeff Buckley, just, bruv, Paul Weller, D'Angelo, people like Bob Dylan and like Richie Havens.
Richie Havens.
It's important for me to like really say something, not just, you know what I mean? So anyway, it was a deep minute, you know what I mean? But I got the record, I've done it now anyway. So
obviously
it was touch subject with the family, it didn't go down too well. So we're just hoping that, you know, we forget about it, a few records will come out, and you know what I'm saying, they'll forget, it's fine.
Does anybody ever say, you know, hey, this tune, you know, reminded me of my childhood, or, you
yeah,
know,
yeah, any, yeah.
Do you ever get those comments from people? Yeah.
Loads of people reach out, and that's why I knew it was an important song, because anyway, it's a sick song in it. The actual recording's sick. But yeah, I have had people reach out and say, you know, oh, big up, mate. Like, it's, I don't have a song that really explains my experience like that. Because not everybody, you know, you don't want to just come out your mum like Eminem, do you know what I'm saying? You know, like I say, my mum's like the be all and end all. I'll be real with you, she is, so.
Yeah.
But so is everyone makes mistakes. You know, my dad made mistakes as well, biological father made mistakes. You just write about it and move on. And that's how I felt at the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. One of the things that catches me about many of your tunes is this sort of timeless quality that reminds me of, I don't know, I thought Van Morrison popped into my mind, Elvis Costello popped into my mind, and I could see these songs being reimagined by other people and other styles. And, you know, who were some of your influences growing up? And
I listen to a lot of Van Morrison. I'm a Van Morrison fan.
Yeah.
And also, I'm a big Bob Dylan fan. I'm one of them guys, you know, you get into something and you get it, that's it. And it's you go on a journey with it, don't you?
Right.
Every facet. And, you know, you're looking at who the producer is, the label, and what decade it was, and so what you know, why Aretha Franklin wasn't that good on Atlantic, and then she was good on Columbia. Like, I'm that kind of geek. So I listen to a lot of reggae predominantly, but throughout my adult life, my music has been generally 70s, 80s music, 60s music, Tim Buckley, especially Stevie Wonder, the early 70s Stevie Wonder. And like Herbie Hancock, you know what I'm saying? And then a lot of like early reggae, Pat Kelly, Dennis Brown, Gregory Isaac, Prince Farai. You know what I'm saying? Obviously Bob Marley, but like, you know, I used to get really into it. So I'd be looking at, and Lee Scratch Perry's massive influence. Jimi Hendrix is a big influence on me. But so is a lot of British rock and roll, like Oasis and Paul Weller.
Yeah. Is there anyone you ever, you know, have you ever met with anybody or talked about performing musically with any of these people or coming together? I think you'd be a perfect person for someone to kind of, you know, do a really cool duet with or work
Paul,
on. Paul
literally just texted me today asking me if we want to do a duet on April the 2nd at his Shepherd's Bush Empire show.
There you go.
He wants to do Dance With Me or this song that he knows was one of my favorites of his. And I've said, I want to do his, but then now I'm like, no, yo, actually, let's do Dance With Me. That'd be crazy. So, yo, it's happening, man.
All right. You're texting with Paul Weller. That's good stuff.
Cause he's asked me to do his tour, in the autumn. So I'm going to be main support. And then he asked, he passed his number along and I gave him a ring. And then, yeah, he's a G, bro. And I can't believe it. Yeah, it's crazy. Super crazy, bro. Super crazy. Yep. Who would have told me my 18-year-old self I'd be texting Paul Weller? I would have literally just, yo.
No, that's exciting. Congratulations. I'm excited for you.
So, yeah, super crazy. Yeah, man, I'm telling you. If you just stay in the ring and go where the love is,
yeah,
it's a beautiful thing.
All right, tell him I say hello and tell him he's a well-dressed man.
Well, yeah.
Do you have a favorite song on the record? Do you have a song that really turned out the way that you hoped it would and that really said what you wanted to say, that you listened to all those songs? And is there one or two that really jump out at you as being your favorites?
Well, that's really difficult. Winter is within thee.
That's a great song.
For me, it's crazy. Like, I can't even believe that is, bruv. I can't even believe, like, how good that is. I'm sorry to sound crazy, it's like arrogant, but... And I've Got No Answers For You. I love that song. I love Light Up the Darkness, and Canary in the Coal Mine is crazy. I mean, he's chatting to that rhythm. That rhythm's crazy. So, yeah, man, it's been a joy to work with Leon on this record. It really has.
Have you had a lot of these songs kicking around for a while? When I was listening to it, I was thinking it sounded like you were really familiar with the songs and really familiar with the phrasing. No?
No, I just turned up there. We had one... 10 day. I was up there for 10 days one stint, and then the next year I went for a week, and then we'd done the record. So just jamming it to get everyone go. But I've been doing this for a minute, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just something inspired happened. And we're lucky that it keeps happening. Yeah. I just knock on wood, that it keeps going on happening. That's all I can say.
One day at a time, right?
Bro, honestly, I wish I knew why this album sounds so crazy good. I wish I knew the formula, because all of my albums would have fit.
Mercy Tree is another one of my favorites, and it's one of the songs that I feel all of the characteristics that make you who I think you are kind of come together in one song. I feel like it really encapsulates a lot of who you are. How do you feel about that categorization with that song? Do you think that's accurate, what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. I think it's definitely a song that's personality driven. In its delivery, and what I'm saying is, you know, and you know, so yeah, it's very cathartic to like how, you know, to write down what you're thinking rather than just be listening to what you're thinking echoed back to you from a black mirror.
Right.
So, you know, like, you know, you get you're on laptop, you know, researching reparations and progressive politics and the right wing and the booby traps and all of that. And then you think, you know, you put that down and just sit down and actually write down what you think about it. Mm. And you actually learn more about the subject.
Right. Once you start writing about it, you go, wait a minute, I better know what I'm talking about.
I learned more about the subject when I started writing about it, when I put the, you know what I'm saying, the information down, bro.
Right.
There's so many angles. Everyone's got to take a perspective, an angle. You know what I mean? Like everyone's got, they've got a politicized version of history. So with a subject like reparations, you can really be there you can be there, bro. Like it's a deep wormhole, rabbit hole. And so what I'm trying to say is by putting a laptop down and just writing about it from just my perspective of what, you know, I knew, and it on like a basic level, I think, in terms of intuition and so on, and just, I learned more about the subject.
Right.
I thought, okay. You know, just the fact that the way that we won't solve it with identity politics, for example. So, yeah, man, and it's a banger of a rhythm.
Yeah.
It sounds swampy. It's like, it sounds like that. It sounds like New Orleans.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like some Rastas just rocked up in New Orleans, just got a little vibe going on with the band down there in the spot.
It's got the vibe for sure.
It's
absolutely.
Creole. It's got like a Creole Jamaican vibe, yeah.
Right. You know, one of the cool things about the record, and if anybody's listening to this who hasn't heard your album, one of the reasons they should pick it up or stream it or whatever they want to do, is it just sounds like you're having fun recording all these tracks. You know, it's really infectious. It's a hard thing also for people to capture on tape or on a record. You know, people want to sound like they're having fun, they're into it, and you make it sound really easy, you know, and
I do feel like I have to lie. You know, the energy has to come from somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. And it's shamanic. And when you're in the studio, bro, it's I can't describe it, you know, but something goes on and it's shamanic and it's based on human energy, and you've got to know somebody as well. And so Leon, you know, unfortunate because of the way we record, he doesn't mind, because, you know, the way we record, really, I shouldn't be shouting and carrying on because of all the bleed in it, because we're straight onto tape.
It sounds like you guys are all close to each other, too. You know, it sounds like you're all...
I'm like, push, like, I'm like, yo, like, when it's like, do, 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 do. You know, like, I'm, you know, yeah, it's very, very viscerally...
There's a lot of people in the background going like, "Yeah, oh no, yeah."
No, that's me, brother. It's just me. Trust,
that kind of stuff.
It's me, because I'm just like, come on, lads. That's sick. That bit was sick. Come on, do it, yo. Go. Oh, hey, go on. like, yo, yeah, man, it's energy building.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's good. It's the best. I'm very, very lucky. I'm so lucky. I'm very lucky. And it's amazing to be able to do it. You know, and that's where the songs come from, that energy, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, it's a great record. It's really enjoyable. People need to check this thing out. It's really great. And what's obviously, you just released this album. You're going to be doing some, well, I don't know if this was a scoop telling us about the opening for Paul Weller here.
It was a scoop actually. Yeah.
But what else is going on? What else is happening in the next few months? What do you see going on, you know, doing things with the album?
Glastonbury. And then I think we're going to do a couple of dates in the UK. I think we'll do a few dates in the UK, a small UK tour. We've got Glastonbury to do. And then we do the Paul Weller bits. And then potentially there's other things on the cards, which I will keep my mouth closed about because
you got to.
But no, it's good, man. It's good to get on the road, you know. And and like gigs in Europe, starting to get some like acoustic shows in Europe and Germany and France and so on. So I'm excited.
And what's a show, you know, if somebody comes out to see you, what are they seeing? You're basically on guitar and you've got your guys with you. It's a couple of, how many pieces? What do you have?
I'll bring my bridging on. I'll bring a guy on acoustic and a guy on electric. And then I'll just sing. I could play guitar.
Oh, okay.
I did do down at Soho Radio the other day. But you know what? I'd rather have a couple guys, you know, and give it that little swag when we want. One of them's got a pedal steel as well, which could come in handy for Winter Is With Indie for the acoustic version. But I think the harmonies as well is the key important factor, locking them down. It's either going to be a two-piece or a three-piece. And if it's two-piece, I'll be playing guitar and singing. Or if it's three-piece, it means I'm Mick Jagger.
Right. Yeah. Well, back to your energy and the fun. I think
that is what it is about. But I'll be real. Like, I think, you know, I know some really cool guys on the guitar, bro. And why? You know, just give it to them to do. Nah, let me just focus on what I'm good at, and that's in just performing. You know, I've always liked being the center of attention. So,
right. When you were talking about Winter Is With Indie, I'm gonna put this out into the universe. When I was listening to this, I see you performing this with the Black Crowes in some format somewhere. Then they just released it. They're going to be releasing a new album. They're going to be on the road. You're going to be around. This is going to happen.
Black Crowes, you know. Yeah, I forgot about the Black Crowes, man. I used to listen to them when they released their first couple of albums. I remember really liking them.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, there's something sick. There. There's something.
No,
there.
They're that incredible.
Would be really cool. That would be a really cool.
Winter's Within Me. You know, the electric guitar in that sounds like something like you'd hear the Stooges play, I think.
Right. Right.
That lead solo.
Well, Liam, I thank you for your time, and I love the record, and I wish you best of luck with it, and all the best to you, and I hope you come to the States soon. Anybody talking about some gigs in the States?
I've not heard anything, you know.
All right.
I've heard though that America loves me dearly, so.
Well, this guy in New Jersey loves you dearly, I can tell you that much.
Nah, it's on my list, you know. I wanna be coming over there standard. Yeah. So hopefully see what go on in it. If we don't make it happen this year, we'll make it happen next year. But Yeah, man, definitely. Thanks for having me as well. Big up yourself.
Radar is produced by Evan Toth in partnership with The Vinyl District. You can hear Radar anytime online at thevinyldistrict.com.